I want to talk today about a study that my graduate student did. I invite all my students, most of my research projects are funded, and so I have my graduate students essentially manage that project, but I asked them to also develop a little side study, and so this was the side study of Curtis DeLong. We were doing forestry measurements and then trying to correlate that to soils. And when he was doing some of his bulk density analysis, I questioned some of the numbers. And so his side study was to compare different methods to determine bulk density in rocky soils and see how it would work out. So this is Curtis DeLong's thesis work, his little side project to a larger forestry study looking at tree growth. So most of you know that bulk density is the mass of solids divided by the volume of that solids, and we're all pretty familiar with that. In most nice soils where there aren't rocks, it's pretty easy to get bulk density. You normally put some sort of, and so when you have wonderful soils like this, you can do the traditional techniques of soil coring, which is really quite easy. There are a lot of different types of materials or equipment that do that. And again, without interference by rocks, you can get pretty good bulk density numbers. Of course, you have to be careful about how you're inserting the core and make sure that you're not compacting the sides and some of those things. But again, very standard technique for that. There are radiation techniques where nuclear density probes are used. And again, in prime farmland reclamation, that's done quite frequently. And of course, another common way is the soil clod method, and that works very well as long as you've got pretty stable aggregates, which then you dip in Saran or wax or something, hang them up, let them dry, and then you weigh them, and of course then you dip them in water and look at displacement. So those are the kind of typical ones that people often use where you've got normal soils. However, we have soils like this. There's hardly any organic matter in them, not very much fine material, and the rock fragment content is upwards of 50% in many of these soils. So we need to measure bulk density in these things because some of our regulations relate to how compacted these types of soils are, and we found that compaction does have an influence on tree growth. So that was the question, and I invite my students to measure bulk density, and it is difficult in these soils, particularly with the scaling factors that are involved also. So, and this isn't just a problem for mine soils. We have natural soils that are quite rocky, and here's an example of a very rocky soil. And so I'm not just talking to mine soil reclamation people, I'm also talking to you that have natural rocks, if there's an unnatural rock. And of course, in forest soils, another thing that I deal with a lot is we have to look at bulk density in very rocky forest soils, and I work with the Forest Service in doing these things. And I have a small piece of property, and this is a soil pit that we recently dug on a reclaimed site on my property. And again, you can see the topsoil there. Even though it's topsoiled, it still has rocks in it. And of course, then the rocky material down below it. Okay, so you get the idea. So what Curtis did is we looked at four methods to determine bulk density on five rocky soils. And the site that we chose to work on is down here at the samples mine. West Virginia University is up in Morgantown. That's actually off the map, isn't it? The site that we have is a big mountaintop removal operation down in Kanawha County. Some of this isn't all that critical to this, but this was the kind of top material that we were dealing with. We had a gray sandstone that was very rocky, and then a brown sandstone. And as we put these topsoil or soil materials back, we try to be careful not to compact them because of the effect on tree growth. But for this experiment, and these were fairly large plots, we chose to try to compact half of it to have an experiment. And so you can see dozer tracks on all of it, and then we tried to leave it loose or non-compacted with just one pass of the bulldozer on the other side. And of course, we planted trees on them, and when we took our bulk density measurements, they were roughly 5-6 years after we'd planted trees. So our treatments were these five soils. We had the brown compacted, brown non-compacted, grays, compact and uncompact, and then we compared it to an adjacent native forest soil, which also had rocks in it. So that was our setup. The measurements were taken at five randomly selected locations on each soil, and all the methods, whether it was frame or foam or radiation, were all done within a relatively close proximity to each other. So those are the methods. We used the foam method, polyurethane foam, the frame, a sand cone method, and those are all excavation techniques. And then we also hired a firm to come out and do a nuclear density probe. So just a quick run through. All of you are probably familiar with how we do these things. This isn't what Curtis did. This was on another site where we were doing this. But again, you excavate the material, place some foam in it, push something over the top to move that foam into the crevices, kind of around through the rocks. And then what you do is let it cure overnight, and then you withdraw or dig out that thing, scrape off the soil around the sides, try to eliminate as much of that as possible. You weigh the material that came out of the hole, then you can put this foam in water and again displace the water to figure out the volume. So pretty simple. The frame excavation, again, most of you probably know this. So you take off the vegetation and then you measure, see the little stick there? See the little stick? So you measure the distance from the plexiglass plate down to where you remove the vegetation. Once you do that for all those holes, then you go in and you excavate a certain amount of material. Put that in a bag so that you can weigh it. And that's what we did here. And then you again measure the and then take a difference between the first measurement here and the second measurement, and that's a volume. So you get weight over volume there for the frame technique. The sand cone, similar, you lay this thing over the top. You can take all this material or take all this off, and then once you've got that settled, then you withdraw the material, again excavate it, put it in a bag, and then you let the excavated area fill with sand, and then either by taking the difference in weight, knowing what the weight of sand is, or you can actually, if your little thing is great, graduated, then you can tell that volume also. Okay, so those were the techniques. We also used a nuclear density probe. We had to hire a guy to do this. This is fairly dangerous work, apparently. And so we used a Troxler Model 3430, which doesn't mean much to me, but that's the one that the guys had. And again, the process is that he pounds this plate and has about a half-inch rod that he pounds in there. Then he extends this probe down into the hole and then lets it equilibrate. And then he takes a sample here so that he can look at moisture. And so again, we spent about $1,000 on that fellow to come out for a day to sample all of our sites. Okay, so here's the data. And this is about all you get. So here are our soils. Where's my soils here? And then here are the techniques across the top. And we're working on doing the interactions right now, but I'm just going to show you main effects here. So what we first found was that the foam, the frame, and the radiation techniques all gave really similar results. And that was the first question I wanted to answer, was if Curtis was getting the right answers with using a couple of other techniques. And so it turned out that he was. You'll notice that the sand cone technique gave a significantly lower value. And I think what happened there, and I talked to Curtis quite a bit about that. And so what I think happens is when you put that template down, you have to be very careful that there's no rocks protruding from the surface, lifting that plate up a little bit, which then allows more sand to come out, more volume, lower bulk density. And I think that's exactly what was happening. When you put that template on the top of that, you have to be very careful about small rocks holding the template up. And just to, as an illustration of that, you can see that on the BC soil, there was a lower one, but there it was more close or closer. So I think if you're a little bit more careful to make sure that you've got a flat surface to place that sand cone on, you can get reliable numbers also. And even down here with the native forest soil, you actually got a little bit lower there too. So I think that's an important point to remember with sand cone technique, is to make sure to get the thing flush with the surface. When it comes to the substrates, here's the soils along here. Again, there was really very little difference between any of the mine soils, even compacted and uncompacted soils. And so I guess the answer, at least for me, is after 6 years, those tend to consolidate and fall down. And even though we didn't compact them originally, those compacted or the non-compacted soils ended up being very similar to the non-compacted. And again, with the forest soil down there, considerably lower than the mine soils, which is what you'd expect. I also had him look at efficiency. And so this just means time efficiency. And so as soon as he started doing the measurement, he started a clock. And then at the end, when he had everything bagged up and ready, then he finished that. And so this just gives you the minutes that it took to conduct those samples. And so the foam technique took about 10.2 minutes. The frame, of course, you can imagine by taking all those measurements with the heights, that was the longest one. And of course, it was significantly higher. In fact, all of them were significantly different from each other. The sand cone technique was there. And then, of course, the radiation technique took the least amount, but of course is the most expensive because you have to bring someone in. So we wanted to do that just to show that since, well, first some conclusions. So they all gave similar results, 1.64 to 1.76, which is not very similar to other people's results in these kinds of soils. The sand cone gave lower results. We think it's because of that not getting the plate flush with the surface. The soils were quite similar. The mine soils were similar. Of course, the forest soil was different. And in terms of the field efficiency, the time, there's the list again. And so I guess what we can learn from that is if you've got a lot of these bulk density samples that you need to take in these rocky soils, it looks like it doesn't matter very much about what type of method you use. They gave very similar results, and especially if you're careful with the sand cone, I think you'd get pretty similar results as the other ones. So if you're doing a lot of them, you might want to pick one that doesn't take quite so long and is quite so tedious, particularly like the frame method. I think that's it.
One question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lee.
I assume your values were not rock fragment?
Yeah, they were not corrected for rock fragments. When we did that, the values got lower, but the results seemed to be pretty similar. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we were careful to do that. The foam is pretty repellent to water. So you can dip it in water for just a moment, figure out what the difference in displacement is, and not have too big of a problem.
So this is what you get from Home Depot? I mean, the big stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, anything that, like a construction foam, works pretty well.